What are you better at today? Like being a husband, like what do you do now that you probably, if you looked at yourself 10 years ago, you definitely did not do?
Well, that's a great question.
Kurt, you were a guy when given a chance late, you took advantage. So are there guys out there who maybe some people are discounting that you like that you could bring in as a backup that still have a high ceiling?
That's a good question.
Which team do you have the most confidence in to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC?
Good question.
Eric, we've been talking. You mentioned the the Titans and what they need to do to potentially win. It seems like because of the season that Ryan Tannehill has been able to deliver for them, they may be finding themselves in a situation where they're trying to re-sign him long term. And even though things have gone really well for him, I wonder if this could eventually be a long term mistake for the franchise. How have you viewed the renaissance that Ryan Tannehill has had this season?
It's a great question.
How different is this Chiefs team from the team that lost to the Texans earlier in the season?
That's a really good question.
Eric Bieniemy interviewing for head coaching jobs, but it seems like unless he gets the Browns job, he's going to get passed over throughout this head coaching hiring period. Now, Matt Nagy was in Kansas City before he got the Bears job, and when I look at the resumes between Bieniemy, I feel like Bieniemy is a more qualified candidate at this moment than Matt Nagy was. Why has Bieniemy not gotten a head coaching job at this point?
It's a very good question.
We know what's happened with the Astros. I want to get your forward thoughts on two subjects. First and foremost, how quickly do you think Major League Baseball will rule on Alex Cora, and what do you think the Red Sox are going to do either before or after they learn about that punishment?
That is a really good question, Trey.
Speaking of managers and jobs, Carlos Beltran, the manager of the Mets, was a player when this went on, and his name was brought up, but the league isn't punishing players. So if the league isn't going to punish Beltran, what do you think the Mets will do, if anything?
That is a great question, Mike.
Okay, if I walked up to you, Tim Kirkchin, you are the owner of a team that hasn't won it either ever or in forever. You own the Cleveland Indians. It's been 70-plus years, you haven't won a title. And I said, here's the deal. Give me a check, $5 million. Give me your number one and two pick for the next 2 years, and you got to fire your general manager, and you got to fire your manager, and you will be the 2020 MLB World Series champion. Would you do it?
That's a really good question.
How do you feel about the fact, or what do you have to say about the fact that all of the offensive hires that they've made are all guys that didn't have jobs or were out of football? And Flip's not one of those guys, but the other guys are all guys that weren't employed by an NFL team last year.
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of it, to be honest with you. It's a good question.
You spoke pretty passionately there about, you know, like the clowny stuff, the taking the helmet out of the game. You obviously love this game. You've coached it. You've coached your boys. Like, over the years, have parents come to you because of your position as a pro football player and talk to you? And have you had to, like, ease their concerns at all about the direction of the game, the health and safety of the game? Like, how often has that come up away from pro football because you've been around your boys coaching them so much?
Absolutely. That's a great question.
Jesse, with this Houston Astros cheating scandal, it seems like each day that passes, more information comes out, more rumors and more speculation about the Astros and their cheating. Or do you think that they're going to be the only team that really gets hit hard besides the Boston Red Sox and obviously the Mets losing their manager in this whole scandal? Or do you think we will find out more teams are kind of doing this around baseball?
It's a really good question.
Right, Matt, and when we look at the trend that you just gave us about the sixth seed, is that because people are underestimating a team that gets this far in the playoffs and they assume that the favorite is going to blow out a sixth seed? Is that why you get that trend?
You know, that's a great question.
In Kansas City tomorrow, if the Chiefs lose today, what will the storylines be around Andy Reid if he loses once again in the AFC Championship game?
It's a good and horrifying question.
As far as paying Patrick Mahomes in the offseason, how is the team built and how do the Chiefs avoid turning into the Ravens when they had to pay Joe Flacco?
Really good question.
Doris Burke with us. They clearly need Joel Embiid, and the NBA clearly needs something, and that something is coming tomorrow. It is Z-Day, Doris, as we're going to be ZSPN one more time as Zion Williamson makes his debut for the Pelicans, a game you can see on ESPN. And I guess the question I have for you is, we're talking about this debut in ways that we sort of talked about the debut of a guy named LeBron James a few years ago, and I'm not sure that's fair to Zion. What are realistic expectations for him as he begins his NBA career?
Boy, that is a great question.
Green Bay, they're talking about their windows open, 14-4 this year. They're all excited as they move forward. Is their window half open or is it half closed?
That's a great question, Yoko. Look at you. What a poet.
Who wants this one tonight more? Is it Q coming back into this building, or is it, you know,
John McDonough?
Or is going to say Stan Bowman or somebody else?
Oh, that's a good question.
In the context, Danny, of cheating the game, now we know how you feel about the steroid era. How do you process what has gone on recently with the Astros, and which is the bigger crime?
Wow. Boy, that is a really good question.
How do you feel about the whole unwritten rules stuff, you know, about the kid steals the ball? Okay, maybe other kids would, and Bruce Weber told them to, you know, kind of, hey, game's over, relax.
Yeah, that's a great question, Tommy.
If Robert does that, I know he still has to show you in spring training. We got a long spring to go.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, with him signed and with the way he skyrocketed through the system,
yeah.
I mean, is it could you say, hey, I've got him penciled in opening day in center?
It's a great question.
Is there a face of the franchise right now, Brooks?
Now look, if there's a face of the franchise, it's arguable of, and I think that still has to play out. Certainly, right now, Tim Anderson won a batting title. Yeah. He's himself. There's no apologizing for anything that he does on the field, and he's passionate. He plays a lot of passion. You know, he's a guy that's, you know, you look at our marketing campaign. We talk about changing the game. This is a guy that's changed the game. And, you know, so I would think probably TA right now, but he's not one that needs to hold on to that, you know, because we've got guys like Eloy that are going to be game changers. You know, we Yoan Moncada we haven't even talked about. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how that evolves. And one of the storylines of the year is who is that clubhouse leader that takes those reins? It'll be really interesting.
Brooks Boyer from-
Isn't that every manager that benefited during the steroids era? Isn't that the exact same thing that they've done and Dusty's done?
It's not the same thing, because I don't think that players are going into managers' offices in the 90s, bending over and saying, hey, Skip, inject me. Like, you know, it's not quite the same. It's not like it's not like a clear, obvious thing. It's more that managers back then, I think, turned a blind eye.
That's what I said. I said earlier that Dusty wasn't a pharmacist, for crying out loud. I mean, he wasn't in charge of...
No, but I will say this. I mean, Dusty did what a manager is going to do for a guy like Barry Bonds. And Bruce Bochy did the same thing. That's what you do. You stand up for your players. God, what a great question.
When John Lynch was sitting there before he made the trade with Ryan Pace, I wonder why he didn't take Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson, because they didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo at that point.
Yeah, it's an interesting... I heard a number of things, and I don't have the exact timeline in front of me. I mean, obviously, you know the affinity, I think, that Kyle Shanahan had for Kirk Cousins. I've heard that Kirk Cousins was a guy that was on their radar. You know, I think that, well, Jimmy Garoppolo, they could have never... you know, banked on the fact that he would have been available. But, I don't know. I don't know what the situation was. My biggest and best guess would be that they had their – Cousins signed as a free agent, what, the following year?
Yes.
And that was after Garoppolo had been traded for. So maybe their plan all along was that they were going to pursue Cousins in free agency, but then the opportunity with Garoppolo became available, so they seized on that. Don't know, though. It's a good question. It's a great question. What has it been about Kobe and all that he accomplished and all that he was about that kind of has brought everyone to this I guess the best way to say is level of feeling the tragedy and the, just the heartbreak.
Is Andy Reid, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, does he end up in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
How do they pick, like, who wears the mics? Like, does Fox say? Does the NFL? Like, do they ask a bunch of guys? And, like, whoever says, okay, I'll wear it, that's how they decide? Like,
it's a good question.
Who is the best guest of the week?
Oh, that's a great question.
What's the dream broadcast job, Greg, for you?
Oh, it's a good question.
Do you believe, Michael, that the emotion will continue to be very high here at the All-Star Game?
I think so. That's a great question.
Tom, it's a very difficult question, but I've got to ask you because we talked about this during the steroid era of, you know, without any questions about Barry Bonds or Sammy Sosa or whatever players, without anything extra, steroids or not, those players were going to be Hall of Famers because of how good they were as players. So without all of this extra device and everything with the video, could the Astros win the World Series without all of this extra cheating that they were involved in?
It's a great question.
Is that a sign that he's working hard, or has he just got a sweat gland problem?
That's a great question.
Do you get nostalgic when you hear highlights of yourself, or are you just like, oh, well, whatever?
That's a great question.
This morning on Get Up, I was watching, and Seth Greenberg was comparing Zion, and he was saying, this is a Barkley play, and this is a Barkley play. Then he had 31 last night or something like that, and the kid's amazing. Do you see yourself in Zion?
That's a great question.
Scotty, what if I set the over-under on Tim Anderson batting average at 300? Where would you go?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, he had 335 last year.
Good question list, guys. Put me on.
Do you think if you were still playing for the Bulls and the NBA All-Star Game was in town, you'd be here all weekend, rubbing shoulders with NBA's elite, getting to see veteran players, being around the different parties and the different events going on? Or do you think if you were still playing right now, you'd take the weekend off and you'd get out of town? Which way do you think these young guys that play for the Bulls should be spending their weekend?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Boy, a lot from the weekend, Jess. Firing on Astros players, Chris Bryant on his future here. Is he going to get traded? Javi Baez on the team kind of slacking off last year. Wow, where do you begin?
Yeah, good question. Good question.
The starting pitching for the Sox, adding Gonzalez to the mix and others, where do you place the starting pitching staff versus others in the American League Central?
That's a good question.
You know what's been going on with this Astros scandal, and I'm asking you, when you look at this pitching staff for the White Sox, who's likely to throw at an Astro?
That's a good question.
Tell me this. Yeah. What can David Ross do that Joe Maddon could not?
Well, that's a good question.
Now, you've been very vocal about this on Golic and Wingo, about all these quarterbacks who are available. This is going to be very interesting come free agency. But knowing how much the Bears still like Mitch, who would be your top pick?
Well, that's a great question.
Do you feel, Dan, that there is a difference of opinion when it comes to Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace as far as what they want to do with Mitch Trubisky? We played a couple of sound bites from yesterday, and Nagy says that, you know, that Trubisky needs to know the playbook better than I do, and Pace talked about the accuracy and the athleticism and the process. Are they on the same page of exactly what they want from Mitch?
So it's a great question.
If you were to handicap the possibility that Mitch would justify Ryan Pace's patience and belief in him, and it happened, can it happen in one off season?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Jesse, it's one thing to be able to look at the core for the Cubs and admire it because there's still quality players in this roster. Just a lot of holes and question marks so far. It doesn't mean it's a bad team. It's a team I think that's in the middle of the NL Central to start off with. But when you take a look at St. Louis and Milwaukee, what do you think of those two teams against what the Cubs personnel brings?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Is it like a sports figure where you get on the court, you get on the field, and you know it's going good today? Like, you start that early game and you got the rhythm. Like, is that what it's like when you're on stage and you're killing it with the jokes, or it's falling flat? Can you tell right away?
Like you pull a hamstring.
Yeah. Like what kind of show it's going to be early. Now, I don't usually consider you a butt kisser, but did I see you in your Yankees hat yesterday, and did you now all of a sudden buy a Cubs hat?
Well, I'll tell you something, and that's a good question. You know, Brian and Rizzo are setting the table, and you have guys knocking them in. You just, is their offense going to, is it special anymore? What are they special at? And maybe they don't need to be. They need to be good in every area. But the bullpen is such a question mark. I don't know how you answer that question right now.
We were going to talk to Jesse Rogers a little bit later in the show, but David Ross may be speaking, so we're going to bump him up here. Actually, let's bring him in now because, Brian, you asked the perfect question, so what better person to ask than Jesse Rogers, who joins us on the Corona Hotline. Jesse, Brian wants to know, what can the Cubs hang their hat on right now?
I think it's a great question.
How much gas does Lester have left in the tank?
It's a good question.
Bobby, give me a name that we should know that should be a general manager in the league in the near future.
Oh, man, that's a good question. Wow, you want me to buy in on Tyler Chatwood or Alec Mills in the five hole? You want me to buy in that John Lester will be better than he was, even though he's now 36. You want me to buy in that in the biggest moments of the 2019 season, Jose Quintana in September was awful with an ERA north of 11, but he's going to be one of your four main guys, and you did nothing to improve your bullpen. So why should I buy in on this team?
It's a great question.
Real quick, Jess, is the Astros conversation subsiding, or is it still a prevalent issue in camp?
No, it is subsiding. That's a good question. It is.
What do you think the public perception would be if they brought in one of these, you know, quality backups and that person beat Trubisky out at some point?
Yeah, it's a good question.
If you look at this team, and Theo has said after each of the last two seasons, it's production over potential, there's a reckoning coming, and we've seen literally nothing. Why should we believe that? But this time in July, man, right. I'm really serious.
That's a great question.
Or was it making the broadcast Jesse Rogers proof, where even though he was on the broadcast, it still didn't go down the tubes?
Ouch. He was awesome. He asked great questions a couple of different times. We threw it down to him and just, I mean, this thing's spinning. You know, you're actively listening, and then he's interviewing guys and asking great questions.
Why is it that we heard of Gleyber Torres getting signed, Eloy Jimenez getting signed? Where are our, like, Ronald Acuna Jr.'s, Luis Roberts? Where are those guys? Like, did they stop the international signings at the highest levels?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Do you think a deal gets done with Moncada?
You know, that's a good question.
Do you think Belichick is looking to win without Brady as much as Brady's looking to win without Belichick?
Good question.
Several months from now, Chris Bryant's still the leadoff hitter. I'm not saying on the team. Still leading off. Or does that experiment, they go, we got to get him out of that spot. It's a different approach
that's
needed.
That's a great question. Write it down. I said great question.
Nope.
Take that, Blake. How do you resist, or how do you know, all right, it's time to put the accelerator down? The Cubs did it with Chapman. Gleyber Torres is going to be a great player for a long time, but they won the ring. How do you know when to put the accelerator down and when to go, nah, I can't do that?
No, it's a great question.
The White Sox also have Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert, who's getting a lot of good pub this spring. A lot of people picking him for their Rookie of the Year. Of those three, or maybe you want to go off the board, who do you think, if you had to bet, has the best Major League Baseball career?
Oh, wow. Good question.
Bummer. All I keep hearing is comparisons to Josh Hader.
More Zach Britton than
Zach
Josh Hader.
Okay.
Is it, right?
Well, could he eventually become the closer of this team?
He could. Yeah, I think he can. Good question, Randy.
Can you just tell us why there's so much concern about the spreading of this virus specifically? Is it because it is able to spread faster than, say, influenza?
Great question.
If you had to bet money on it, Jesse, who do you believe will have the most wins at the end of the year?
It's a great question.
If I have a ticket with a team like that, I'm not going to give it up. What would you say? Because this is a fairly new concept, and you guys, I think, are only going to get bigger and bigger. But how many, what percentage would you say of the people would turn those tickets in?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I'm pretty sure I know your answer to this, but take off your reporter hat for a minute. And if you were a fan of this team and they said, listen, we want to stay under the competitive balance tax, we can keep one guy. It's Baez or Bryant. Who would you keep? Now, I know who you think they'll keep, but if you were from a fan perspective, who would you keep?
Boy, that's a great question.
That's a great question, and I'll say it three or four more times for Black.
Like, if you had tickets to go to a game tonight, wherever it is, would you have paused to go or live your life?
That's a great question. Right at the moment, I think I would give pause. I think it's really too early to tell. Fortunately, in our area, in our community, the virus is not really too prevalent. There's been some isolated cases around the city, but we just don't know. And I think that what we're learning from experiences in other places is prevention is the key. So if you wait for people to get sick, then it's probably too late. So the way to prevent the spread, prevention is so important. And I think it's a really good question.
All right, before we let you go, what about shared equipment in the gym? I go to the gym every day, like millions out there. Can we safely work out there?
Well, I think it's a great question.
And last, quickly, if you look at the, if you have the symptoms, but you're a, you know, 35-year-old person that's in really good health, takes care of themselves, does, if you don't feel well, immediately run to the hospital or no?
That's a great question.
Which team would you say is most likely to be able to make a run all the way to the Final Four out of the Big Ten?
Well, I keep vacillating on this, Carm. I've gone back and forth. It's a great question.
How much does adding guys, not just accomplished players like Grandal, but guys that are used to participating in the postseason, how much benefit do you think they will provide some of the young guys and try to even out some of those valleys that young guys find themselves in?
It's a good question.
When you talk about this, or you're better to be safe than sorry, are you suggesting that they play the games without fans or that they completely eliminate the games altogether?
That's a great question.
Because we talk about sports and because the games will probably go on, Michael, we were trying to figure out, like, what will it be like tomorrow night in San Francisco? Are they going to pipe in music in place of the crowd?
That's a great question.
I want to ask you about NFL free agency. What is your opinion? Do you believe that will go on as planned because you can get a lot of this done without gatherings in person? Or do you think, because we need all hands on deck, they need to push it back a few weeks?
It's a really good question.
Mike, right now the league says we are on a schedule. Do you believe that's going to be the case?
Boy, that's a great question. Mike, in preparation for the draft, what teams do is they go to pro days. Teams aren't, some aren't traveling anymore. Pro days, some are still going on. Justin Herbert just had his. As far as bringing draft picks in to the facility, a lot of teams have closed their facility. So how are you and coaches and GMs now assessing the talent out there when you don't get to see the talent? Yeah, Mike, that's a great question.
Within 2 hours, it changed to we're canceling these events and we're postponing the Masters, which I know a ton of people were sad to see. But I was reading Jack Nicklaus's comments a few days ago, and he said, I understand postponing, but when are we going to have the Masters played? I mean, their schedule is so jam-packed in golf. Can you take out another tournament? That seems unfair to another tournament down the line just to play the Masters. But obviously, everybody wants to see the Masters played. So how do you foresee that working as we move forward?
Yeah, I think that's a great question.
So you're waiting for the next one. So before I let you go, what will that next one be? Will it be a quarterback? Will it be a corner? Will it be something else, another safety? What do you think?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Hey, what are you doing to scratch your gambling itch?
That's a good question.
Where are they going with Mitch if Mitch is their starter, in your opinion?
I mean, that's going to be the interesting thing, because I don't think Nick Foles is definitely the starter. I mean, of course he's been better than Mitch Trubisky in his career, which is good. Like, that's Captain Obvious. But he just lost his job to Gardner Minshew, so it's not like he's some stud. If they have Mitch be the starter, I don't know. It's a great question.
Dan, both of these quarterbacks would need a much better running game to complement them. How are they going to get better in that facet of the game?
It's a great question.
This is weird for players, not knowing what the season's going to look like coming back, when it's going to come back. Do players just have to assume they will be playing hockey again and keep in shape? And I know these days, you know, most players are pretty much in shape year-round anyway, but how do they prepare for this?
It's a really good question.
President of the Blue Jays came out this morning and said, if we get baseball back, you're looking at least 4 weeks that we need spring training. How long are we probably going to be living as we're living now?
Oh, that's a great question.
Doctor, if someone that was exposed directly to COVID-19 but never developed symptoms, does that mean that they've got a higher immune system?
That's a great question.
One, can you ask the great doctor, this comes from Mike on Twitter, how dangerous is it for package pickup and delivery drivers?
That's a good question.
And Dan, we've seen some countries making that decision on behalf of their athletes. We've seen a lot of athletes speak up on this. But you mentioned the IOC waiting on this one. I'm curious because I've likened them to the NCAA, and we know that student athletes do not have a glowing review of that. How much confidence do athletes have in the IOC as an organization? What's that relationship like?
Good question.
Mike, it's interesting about how news develops. Sometimes you're not even looking for it, and it sometimes just pops up on your phone, or you're just doing one search and you find something else. I want to just direct people to pwinsider.com for a story I find very interesting. So there's a fan asking Saudi Arabia, where's the WWE network? And the response from the network is, well, thanks for reaching out. Our sincerest apologies for the inconvenience. WWE network will not be available in Saudi Arabia until further notice. Well, what's that? I mean, was there a release?
That is a great question.
So the Olympics are not going to happen for a year. You also have covered so many other things from the Cubs to this to that. When you look back now, like, what's the first thing you can't wait to cover when we get our lives back?
Oh, that's a great question.
While everyone is exposed and is capable of attracting or you know, being struck with the virus, it's the older people who are more at risk. Are some of the young players that you do stay in contact with, are they scared at this point?
No. No. And I don't want to just boil it down to young players. That's a great question.
Are these moves that we've seen so far good enough to be able to compete with Minnesota and Green Bay? Ultimately, you want to be as good as possible in the NFC, but you don't want to be in third place struggling to try to get to the playoffs. So are these playoff-like moves, do you think, for the Bears?
It's a really great question.
Jim, when you look at the NCAA tournament, you were on this men's selection committee. You were in New York. I was in New York. Thank God that's been over 2 weeks ago now, but when you were sitting in that room and you're starting to evaluate, all right, is Dayton a one seed? Is that team worthy of being in the field at all? When all this started to come to realization, I don't know if we're going to have a tournament. Take us inside that room. What was that like?
Well, it's another great question.
Because I was wondering if there's a parallel there with Madden and Ross. Like, Madden obviously is the ultimate player's manager. It's a different, because Girardi's a little bit more of a kick-ass manager. But I wonder what Boone brought to the table as someone that was not a manager, does not have the experience, and now going to be in his third year.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question.
Luke, when it comes to defense, it's something that you specialized in coaching for a while now. Can you sell me on how you view defense in an offensive culture that we have in basketball? Guys want to shoot the three, guys want to be able to score, but defense, how much do you have to sell players on that, especially here now in 2020?
Another great question.
So we're having this discussion, which of the three-peats for the Chicago Bulls in the 90s did you enjoy more?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah. Did you do any self-scouting of yourself while you were watching those games? Like, anything that made you mad about the way you coached in a certain game or a certain scenario?
You know what? That's a great question.
Mike, who initially owned all of this footage, and why has it taken till 2020 for it all to come out? Is Michael going to be pissed at anyone based on what, or does he know exactly what everyone has said at this point?
I don't. Well, he could. He could know. He could know. He's had access to it. I don't. From my brief conversation with him about it, I don't know that he. I don't know that he's like asked. I know that he knows certain stories. He, that's a great question.
JD, you led me perfectly into my question. Then, with all the questions surrounding Mitch and Nick Foles, how confident are you that the Bears truly find their quarterback answer by the end of this year?
I mean, you mean like long-term
yes,
answer.
An well, answer, quarterback
that,
answer.
That's a great question.
emergency room doctor. So you, you are truly there on the front lines of all this. Can you give us, a little update about what things are like where you are, and if you think, are we close to some sort of peak, or is this going to continue to get worse in the coming weeks?
That's a great question.
As the weather warms around the country, as it gets more humid, will that help prevent the spread of this? People keep wondering, is it kind of like the flu? And I know that that virus never really dies, but let's face it, it seems to become increasingly rare throughout the summer and into the fall. Will something similar happen with this virus?
That's such a great question.
Can you envision, Doctor, people actually being in stands for games anytime soon? I mean, we're hopeful games return, even if it means no fans in the stands, because I think that could be important for a lot of people. But do you envision anytime soon where fans can be able to, and I'm talking about tens of thousands of fans congregating in the same place, will that happen again in 2020?
Good question.
If Adam Simon is a guy who, you know, people hold in high esteem, I spoke to someone today who you would know in the league, and I said, tell me about Adam Simon, because I'm hearing a lot about his name. He said, sharp. He came in as a video coordinator intern, and in 25 seasons has now become a vice president there. He is a guy that people really like. If Adam Simon is the guy, what do you think that means for a guy like Jim Boylan?
That's a great question.
If none of this were going on, and today were the start of Masters Week, would Tiger Woods have been able to play and defend his title?
Great question.
The people that rise throughout the pre-draft process, and we see it over the course of the whole offseason. So I'll go the other route. Who are the couple of guys for you that have been the most consistently at the top during your time period here? We know Joe Burrow has been consistently at number one for everybody, but of the handful of guys from a couple different positions, who's held the steadiest throughout this process?
Good question.
Put it on the poll. Has Stugatz, and I'm asking you this as a question as we put it up, Stugatz, have you ever actually stayed for an entire sporting event?
Wow, that's a good question. Yeah.
Your offensive line this past year, now I was a high school and college wrestler as well, and I know the whole starting five, I believe, including the Paulson brothers, were either state champs or nobody was lower than third, I believe, on that starting group. So, first and foremost, of that starting five, who was the best wrestler?
Well, the best wrestler. That's a great question.
When you guys do get the green light, how long will it take to get ready?
Yeah, so that's a good question.
You're going to be hanging out with Pesci at the Oscars. You're going to be with in this movie, or you're going to be in front of 20,000 people in your hometown selling out the United Center. Which would have been more surreal to you at that moment?
Oh, wow. That's a good question.
Mike, lastly, and I appreciate your time, could you just tell me the quarterback that's going to be in this upcoming draft that you're curious about that's going to play on the next level here next year?
That's a great question.
Is Wes Unseld Jr. ready to be a coach?
That's a good question.
Anyway, can I get a play on which quarterback, like, is there a prop bet on which quarterback will start the opening game of the season for the Bears?
That's a great question.
Matt, tell me, who is the best player that you saw in college football last year?
That's a great question.
When are you most necessary to Tiger? When the wheels are coming off, or, you know, just kind of refocusing him, or what? Do you know when to say what you need to say to him?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, what are caddies doing? And how devastating could this kind of layoff be for just a lot of the caddies, like some of the golfers out there that maybe we don't know as much, the guys that have to grind it out, the guys that are playing week to week to make a living? What is this like for some of those caddies, and will it force them to look to do other things even when golf comes back, Joe?
No, good question again. Like you said, you know, everyone wants to talk about Tiger and Rory and everything else, and their caddies are just fine. It's a good question.
When you were going in before, at what point did you think what I was going to order in your champion's dinner? Does that ever come into mind, like the week leading into a tournament, or did it do that in 87, or it wasn't until you won it that you thought, all right, I got some time to think about it?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. Matter of fact, I've never had that question. That's a great question.
Mel, I have amazingly enough heard people I respect as analysts say they're not sure about Isaiah Simmons and how he will fit
into the NFL, where he'll play and how he'll play, which stuns me. I think this guy is perfect for the NFL. But we always know there's one guy that may drop for one reason or another. Could he be that guy, or are you solid? He's a solid top five pick to you.
That's a great question. For this draft preparation that you've got coming up now, and obviously it's going to be different than it's ever been before, how easy is the communication flow? Have there been any hiccups? Have you guys done any kind of mock drafts where you guys go through the processes of getting, you know, like four picks away from where you're at, then getting through your pick in that type of situation?
Yeah, listen, great questions.
If you were a wagering man, September 10th, I think that's the Thursday that the NFL kicks off. Do you believe that the NFL will be kicking off on time this year?
Man, honest to gosh, I have no idea. And anybody that says they have an idea, I think is crazy. I think there's a chance we will be, maybe without fans. I read an article today, and I would say this was probably made the most sense to me. Now, again, we're sitting here in the middle of April, and something that we don't know anything about predicting September. But it talked about games without fans and then teams that are quarantined. Yurko's a great question.
Right? If Odell Beckham Jr. is the guy that steps in and is the new wide receiver for the Vikings, well, once again, I could see them again solidify themselves as the second-best team in the North.
Certainly possible. I mean, that would be a big weapon for them. They're a good defense. I mean, that's a great question.
What will the future when things do open? I mean, we're talking about this with sports. I mean, even if sports return, will there be crowds? How will, when things get close to normal or halfway to normal, how will restaurants change?
That's a good question.
Yeah, listen, you're around the young athletes all the time in the NBA. And so everyone talks, you know, it's just a big family reunion when everyone comes together and there's always talk. What's going on with this organization? Should I play here? What's going on with PAX? What's going on? So that's a big talking point when it comes to the Bulls. Can I hang my hat here? And so even though all this stuff is from the past, how much does that affect the future for Arturas and company?
Well, it's a good question.
Dan, you and I are of the same mind in this process. And so I ask you because the first round kind of hinges on what's going to happen with these guys and who might potentially move. So if Justin Herbert is Steakums and Tua Tagovailoa is a bone and filet, what is Jordan Love?
That's a great question.
What does this say to like when Aaron came in, Brett was a jerk to him. When this guy comes in, is Aaron going to go... Hey, man, I'm one of the 10 greatest. I know you're not taking my job right now. I'll work with you. Or is Aaron going to be Brett?
That's the great question.
So I've asked everybody that we've talked to over the last, not just today, but, you know, earlier in the week. How surprised would you be if the Bears find themselves with a quarterback in 43 or 50 tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question.
Everybody's going crazy with this. I mean, you know, park areas are closing. Forest Preserve parking lots are closing. DuPage County is only letting, in certain parking lots, you be a DuPage County resident, which I won't even get into. There's a lot of things that are concerning, but you as a, you know, you're a businessman in the community. You're a community leader. I mean, what can we do as sportsmen that listen, you know, and over the years, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of sportsmen that have listened to us. What can we do to help us get through all of this goofy thing with the business community?
Johnson, it's a great question.
Do you think there's any part of that that you guys take with you going forward? Or is it, you know, as soon as you can get back into that war room setting, that's what you'd all prefer?
You know, that's a good question.
I guess the follow-up would be, Rod, if he didn't say that and never said that supposedly, how was Isaiah Thomas not on that team?
That's a good question.
So, Manny, when you take a look at the roster composition of the Vikings, the Packers, and the Bears as well, so are the Vikings the best, just based on what you've seen?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Congressman, what's the time frame, given everything else going on in the world, that you think is realistic for Congress and the NCAA to come up with a valid solution?
You know, honestly, that's a great question.
You mentioned the unemployment rate in your district, obviously the economic impact of the possibility of no college football. Where do you stand on trying to figure out how to make these things happen, but also maintain public health and safety?
You know, it's actually a great question.
See, the celebration of the 75th Little League World Series in 2021, will that date be changed from the original date?
Yeah, actually, what we're going to do is, it's a good question.
Ian, from a organizational standpoint, on business standpoint, how close is the parallel to Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft?
Jonathan, good question.
Social distancing for car drivers seems pretty easy. Outside of the fact that you're driving a car real fast with a bunch of other cars, not so easy. But the social distancing thing, I get it. Your motorhome to the car, and that's cool. But we know racing teams are there, and we see pit crews out there. We see a lot of guys working on the car that are awfully close together. What has been talked about as far as the rest of the team and how their procedure is going to be?
Yeah, that's a great question.
At what point in your career do you not listen to what's going on in the offseason and just kind of wait to show up? Or are you always interested in what your team is doing in the offseason?
No, that's a great question.
Charles, before we let you go, a lot of talk here in Chicago as well that had they not broken this thing up, they would have won a seventh, a fourth in a row. How do you feel the Bulls would have done had they kept that team intact the following year?
You know, that's an interesting, great question.
Jeff, I know this is a rich person's problem, and most of the average United States citizens probably don't care and they won't pass the hat, but how much financial fear is in the eyes of these owners where cash flow is king and none of that cash flow is actually going through the system?
That's a great question.
Dana, this was supposed to take place April 18th on an Indian reservation in California. ESPN and Disney asked you not to hold it at that point. Now we're 3 weeks later, and it is going to be held. What was the biggest difference for not having it then and having it now?
Great question.
I'd imagine if you're Dak, would you be more apt to take it knowing, hey, listen, free agent deals may look a little bit different next year or a year down the road if this turns into a situation where you're not having fans and a lot of revenue is lost?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Before we get into the article you did yesterday, I want to ask you something because you just mentioned, and I have thought about this, and I know that nobody really wants to talk about it, but, you know, do you think that if and when baseball does return that there's going to be reporters following teams and broadcasters at games, or do you think that games could be called off of TVs, or what do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I think those are great questions.
We know there was a lot of discussion about what went on during that call Friday, Adam Silver had with everybody in the league. From your perspective, and this is the most important thing we need to get, what were the things that came out of that phone call that we really should be focusing on?
Hey, guys, good question.
So when you get a phone call and you are told it's the fall of 97, yeah, we've just traded you to the Chicago Bulls for Dickie Simpkins. Like, rewind your brain to that moment.
That's a great question.
Do you take it as the ultimate compliment? A, you got a ring, but B, he goes, that might be the nicest guy. Because everyone wants to be liked, and he certainly is very complimentary of you as a person.
That's a great question.
Rob, you and I have not talked about this in the past, and I just thought this would be a great time to talk about the similarities or differences in football philosophy from Gutekunst to Ted Thompson when he was the GM. What's the big difference or something similar to both regimes?
It's a good question.
Moving forward, as they're trying to figure out baseball and basketball in the now, a little more runway for the NFL, does this change your thought process about the possibility of going to work with all that's still going on?
You know, it definitely gives me perspective. It's a good question.
The Cam Newton situation, do you see him landing? Like, I've heard Seattle. I've heard the Rams. Do you think he'd go in somewhere as a backup? Or is he, if he's not starting, he's sitting out this year, some have speculated.
That's a great question.
Let's say they do agree they're going to play some baseball, but a very wealthy player, a more veteran player who has made his money, might have some genuine, serious medical concerns, and he says, you know what, I'm just going to sit this one out this year. Are teams bracing for that to be a possibility, maybe with some of the more tenured, higher-paid players?
I've only talked to a few people about this, not really teams, but players, and I haven't really gotten that sense.
Okay.
But, of course, I haven't talked to every player with underlying conditions. I was trying to get a hold of Brandon Morrow, diabetes, the other day, and you know, that guy might be towards the end of his career. Does he want to risk it? Those are good questions, Carmen.
Where are you in trying to relate to the parents in this situation? Because that's the X factor that's involved in college sports, Brian, that we all know isn't a part of the NFL. When you sign up and you got a contract and you have somebody collectively bargain these things for you, that's how this works out. Obviously, that is not the case in college football. So what is Notre Dame doing, and what do you have set up to talk to the parents of the student-athletes to let them know what is actually going to be going on campus and how you might assuage their fears a little bit?
Yeah, Trey, I think it's a great question.
On the baseball front, if we do come back, we get the negotiations hammered out, we get the health hammered out, what do you believe of the changes will be something that we'll be like, oh my gosh, this is great, we need to make this permanent?
Oh, good question.
Is there a team amongst this group that you put above the rest that you were most surprised didn't get over this hump?
Oh, that's a good question.
Jeremy, is this only going to happen in facilities where states have kind of hedged on their stay-at-home orders, or are we safe to assume that all 32 teams could start going back?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I'm curious, though, for these drivers, they haven't been practicing like they normally would. What's the actual product going to look like when the race goes off?
Very good question, Katie.
Andrew, what's next on the calendar as far as what you've got planned? I mean, what's the next subject you plan on tackling?
That's a good question.
Chris, I know I'm jumping way ahead, but I'm so sick of talking about like the economics and all that other stuff. What could it look like in terms of the competition on the field? Like, I worry about no fans, so you lose a little adrenaline, but like you said, you adjust a little bit, but you got to restart spring training, but it's not going to look like a normal spring training. You're not going to get that competition you get playing every day. You got to play inter-squad probably. I mean, do you worry about sloppy play, 4.5-hour games, or do you not even worry about it because it's baseball?
No, Jesse, I think it's a great, great question.
So what advice would you give the players right now, Todd, as they try to navigate sort of uncharted waters and figure out how they could potentially play a season in 2020?
Well, it's a great question.
Dave, speaking of the candor and honesty that he displays in part one, do you feel like that'll change people's perception of Lance after seeing this documentary?
Absolutely. That's a good question, Katie.
Golf fans have had the luxury of watching Phil and Tiger over so many years. But for those who don't know much about Brady and Manning's golf game, what can we expect from those two?
Well, a great question.
How are they going to deal with the international players that happen to be overseas?
Good question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Yes or no? More likely to have a Triple Crown winner this year because of the way it's set up?
Wow, great question.
I'm curious, and the hub cities certainly present those challenges. You mentioned the testing that'll be a part of everyone that's in those hub cities based on how the outbreak is in that area at that particular time. But I'm also curious then, you get to that point, and even if you're testing every day, what happens if there is a positive test? What would that then trigger?
That is a good question.
Hey, I know I'm going to expose myself up to grief for asking this question, but I ask it for many who are interested in and really want to know who's Coach Duggs.
Okay. All right. Good question.
When we see Lance Armstrong giving the middle finger and using the F word on ESPN the week after The Last Dance, and then, you know, I know that there was still an edited version, but they let that uncensored. The Last Dance uncensored. Do you believe there will be a day soon, Michael, where we will see NBA basketball at night, at 8 o'clock at night, the big playoff game where you will hear players swear on the air?
Well, no, I don't think so. That's a great question, Sylvie.
Does one side look worse than the other?
It's a good question.
I guess this is not so. I know that you don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. I'm just wondering whether or not Korea has considered just kind of trickling in some fans here and there, because it's open and they've got, of course, the painted on fans, behind home plate. I wonder, will they start just bringing in a few fans in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question.
So I am curious about your thoughts in The Last Dance. Again, we have not spoken since some of these stories have come out. Does The Last Dance help or hurt the future of the Bulls?
Ooh, good question.
I don't want to jinx it again, Ramona. I'm knocking on wood here. I don't want to jinx it because we've talked about this before. Uh-huh. And just when you feel too good about things, things tend to fall apart. But if this does happen and they get back on the floor in late July, I'm sure going into the playoffs, when we thought there was going to be playoffs as normally scheduled, that we all had our ideas as to these are the teams that we think would be favored to win the championship. Right. Does that change at all? Do those teams change at all based on this layoff? Like, do you think one team that was a contender might be affected more than maybe some others because of the time away?
I think it's a great question.
JD, so we were talking about the Drew Brees and his comments, and I think it's pretty safe to assume that there will be some form of passive protest going on when sports return, whether it's in baseball, in basketball, in hockey, in the NFL. What do you think the NFL is going to do about protesting during the anthem?
We asked Matt Nagy that question yesterday, and that was sort of the only time during our call with him that he was a little evasive with his answer. He didn't say what he would do if players kneeled or if there was a silent protest. His point was, if we do something, we'll do it as a team. What I could see, knowing how the NFL operates, I could see them hoping that everyone does some sort of display, right, before the first game. And then their hope would be that would be the end of it. That's what happened last time. Remember, Jerry Jones was like, we did it once. I thought that would be the end. In fact, it wasn't the end for a lot of players. But I don't know. I hope it's something that they're taking seriously, that they're discussing, because that's absolutely going to be at the top of the players' minds. You also mentioned, Adam, as you were teasing before going into break, the revenue sharing idea and what maybe this could mean for the labor front in the NFL. That's a really good question.
We've heard of a lot of different plans for schools and or conferences, and even in the professional ranks as well, Kevin. And the one thing we've always read from these guidelines is if a player tests positive, we separate them. But we're seeing in colleges, as these student athletes are coming back, multiple players, 5 players on this team, 3 players and a staff member on another team, 2 players. What's the plan for multiple positive tests? And is there a number of, if we get to this number of positive tests, we have to shut this thing down?
I mean, that's a great question.
What do they anticipate in terms of crowd with the regulations? Will people feel safe enough about traveling and going out and being like, are the pools going to be open? Like, where does all that stand for the people that do love to visit the Strip?
You know, that's a great question.
Eddie, I know earlier in the week they had talked about baseball and the baseball announcers maybe doing the games from studios. Have they talked to you? Has it gotten that far about what will happen when the hockey does return and where you may be calling games from?
Yeah, great question.
We want to reach out to you and ask the question about how different is this movement for George Floyd versus others. We see that there's protest not only in the United States but across the country. Usually some of these protests are regional or happens in the city in which an occurrence takes place. But how different does this feel for you?
Well, it's a great question.
Rod, you've been in locker rooms in which there's so many different players from across the country that are there in the locker room, and you're there for one common cause. You're trying to win. But you also learn background from other people. Now, the Drew Brees story is big because Drew Brees and also as well as Vic Fangio, the head coach for Denver, have made their comments. What do you think locker rooms will be like now in 2020 versus the ones that you were in as far as trying to learn from one another?
Well, that's a great question. And
so while we saw Roger Goodell's video, we know he works for the owners and that he only included maybe a handful of owners in about this video. So let's go there, because is there going to be some sort of power struggle with the owners over this?
That's a great question.
But yeah, said, this is the tool that people use in negotiation all the time. It's what they have at their disposal. So this is how he voiced his frustration. But what's the larger conversation that leads to?
And that's the great question.
Jesse, I just wonder, if I'm a player hearing that, how am I supposed to think this is going to end with 10% if we give them that open?
Well, it's a good question.
the protest last week and the moment of silence and the race this week, Black Lives Matter, these will be races without any fans in the stands. What are your expectations and what the reaction might be when those fans do return to the stands?
You know, I've been actually thinking about that. It's a great question.
JD, why do you think they've hit the quarterbacks? Definitely made more sense last week, but what are they doing a disservice to them in a sense, too, by not letting them talk now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
The national perspective of the Bears really seems to be one of like the Bears being maybe a bottom five team. Where do you think that's coming from? Because I would say, like, even in a year where they were about as inept as you could ever be offensively, on the strength of a defense that's pretty good, they were still an 8-8 team. Are you surprised a little bit at how down the national media seems to be on the Bears in 2020?
Here's why, and it's a great question.
Do you think a shortened season, whether it's 81 games, 76, 48, whatever it is, does it favor a veteran team where a John Lester, for example, doesn't have to start 35 times, he starts 18 times? Or does it favor a young up-and-coming team like the White Sox? How would you characterize
that?
Good
question.
Let's make you the smartest guy in the world, okay? How do you get past the distrust? Because clearly this is not just about this season. It's about what's coming next, which is after we get through potentially whatever baseball is going to be in 2020. It's about the CBA for the next deal. It's the old line, you can't see the forest through the trees.
Yep.
Can anybody actually focus on this season without looking at what lies ahead?
That's a really good question.
What was the coolest thing you saw along the way?
Wow, great question.
Do you think they'll be more open to a revenue share type of arrangement in the next agreement?
Boy, I know, Adam, you love this when I say this. That is a great, great question.
Are you comfortable and ready to be uncomfortable in this moment? How do you feel about your place as a white man trying to lead these conversations, and how do you anticipate being able to bring in other voices to help you?
No, it's a great question.
So, like, this scenario, Shams, like, it's, you know, the playoffs have started. We're around in, and the Lakers are playing the Grizzlies, and all of a sudden, Ja Morant and, I don't know, six other guys test positive. Like, do the Grizzlies have to, at some point, forfeit a series? I don't know if we're talking about a 1-8 matchup. I'm just running through this scenario. Do the Grizzlies forfeit a series? Do they just keep rolling in G League players to play the Lakers? Like, have they thought about those types of situations and how they might present themselves?
That's a great question.
And you mentioned your article about if the Bears can unlock Mitch Trubisky, that's their best chance to actually go to a Super Bowl and win their second in franchise history, at least in your opinion. I guess I don't disagree with that that premise, but I've also come in my own mind come to the conclusion that I truly believe that Mitch is probably taken, assuming that Nick Foles doesn't get injured this season. I think Mitch has taken his last meaningful snap for the Bears. Do you think there's anything he can do? Is there enough time with coronavirus and everything going on? Can Mitch actually win a quarterback competition?
Yeah, it's a really good question.
Going back to your playing days, Bill, given the scenario going on down in Orlando at Disney World, would you have gone to this? Would you have played in this bubble?
Well, you know, that's a good question.
To what degree have players been using facilities then, Jess? I mean, like, I know the Cubs had mentioned that some of the Arizona guys were able to use the Mesa facility. They've got strict protocols in place. What about the players here? Like, how much testing has happened now? Like, where are we with all of that?
No, that's a great question.
Sud, if you're a starting pitcher today, are you excited for a 60-game schedule because you can just let it loose and don't have to worry about innings limits or whatever? Or are you more nervous because your arm may not be in ready-to-go fashion and you can't work your way into shape as the season builds?
That's a great question.
What about what Dr. Fauci said today about a vaccine? The two-part question. When would you bet on a vaccine getting here? And when we do get a vaccine, Waddle has brought this up a lot. Will it be like the flu vaccine where people will still get it? Or will this eradicate COVID when the vaccine gets here?
Yeah, Waddle, you must have gone to medical school. It's a great question.
John, good morning. How are you, buddy?
That's a great question, Cap. Did I do that right, Chris?
Yes.
Take that.
Way to go, Greenberg.
Now that we move to kind of what's going to go on here in this 60-game season, I'm curious as to your thoughts about how you would approach it, because obviously baseball is a 162-game marathon that kind of normalizes out over that period of time. But in a 60-game sprint here, Hawk Harrelson taught me the old axiom. There's, you know, you're going to win 50, you're going to lose 50, and it's what you do with those other 50. Do we just need to shorten it down and say you're going to win 20, you're going to lose 20, and it's what you do with those other 20 games that's going to determine whether or not you're a playoff team? I mean, how is this going to be approached if you're the a GM of a baseball team? What can you do differently in this short stretch here?
Jeff, great question.
Tampa Bay used their openers last year. Do you think more teams in baseball are going to use that kind of thing? Because you talked about pitchers, and I would think a lot of guys, even if they were regular starting pitchers, would probably go three, maybe four. And then because of the shortened schedules, like, listen, we're going to bring in some other guys now. But do you think on the other way, you bring in a reliever, a guy to go to an inning or two innings as an opener? You think that kind of thing will be used more so this year?
Intriguing to me, Fred. Great question.
We kind of mentioned just, free agency, and obviously I understand none of us have a real handle on the economic impact that this season's going to have on baseball right now. But I'm curious as to your thoughts, an absolute star free agent like Mookie Betts, who's going to be on the market. Have you thought about what kind of deal he might sign? Like, do you think he might be looking at like just a monster 1-year deal in hopes that the free agency market resets in 2021? Or, do you think, if you're advising him or his agent, you're thinking, if there's a $200 million deal out there, you should probably take it because of the uncertainty surrounding everything?
Jeff, great question.
And along those lines, as you said, you were born and raised there, and neither at Mississippi State or Ole Miss, that flag hasn't flown there since, I think, 2015 or 2016. Why did this happen now, and why didn't this happen sooner?
Yeah, it's a great question.
As far as baseball is concerned, the play on the field, Jerry, I'm wondering, because it's a shortened season and really each team is playing 9 other teams only this year, so you see a lot of the same people over and over again, what will be more of an advantage, pitching or hitting?
Awesome, good question.
Do you feel that Major League Baseball has given you guys enough time to ramp up for this 60-game schedule?
That's a great question.
What do you think the threshold is then as like a society for us to have baseball? You know, how many players need to get sick?
I don't know. I ain't that smart. I have no idea. And I noticed that, that's a great question.
Can you be in proximity to the pitchers? Like how do you have to, be careful around them?
That's a good question.
Now, how do you do a weigh-in for this?
That's a great question.
I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I think I could be convinced either way by a compelling argument, so I'll ask you what your thoughts are. Chris Bryant's, most Cubs fans are well aware that this is likely going to be, he's got 2 seasons left on his contract, or at least the Cubs control over him. So I'm curious, the finances surrounding baseball right now, do you think it's more or less likely that Chris Bryant signs a long-term deal with the Cubs when his current contract is up?
That's a good question.
Charles, do you feel like the road ahead for college football, college athletics will be more challenging than what pro sports leagues are facing?
That's a good question.
Well, if in that lines, who's taking the bigger risk here? Is it Masvidal for taking this fight on a week's notice and, as you said, still has some weight he's got to shed and get that taken care of? Or is it Usman, who was walking into a very, very difficult fight here while he was preparing for somebody else?
That's a great question.
Give me your hottest Patrick Mahomes take on the contract. Because no one's like, it's a bad, it's $500 million. But what is your hottest Patrick Mahomes take?
Ooh, it's a really great question.
The crowd aspect of it is interesting. But to me also, I think one of the parts just anecdotally that so many guys relied on and so many athletes fall back on is the nature of routine and how important it is. How much do you think the disruption of the routine, whether it's been in players' off seasons or even as it pertains to how they have to go back now with all of the precautions taken around COVID-19, might actually affect performance or their readiness to perform?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great question.
Do you get the sense that the guys collectively feel, kind of confident that things are going to go okay from the health front and that a season will, in fact, be played?
You know, and that's the big question, and it's a good question.
At looking at the on-the-field portion, because that was one of the other things that we talked about in regards to the NFL yesterday, was concern by the players of the chance of injury increasing when they've come back, how long it's going to take guys to get into shape. So from what you saw last night, we had Orlando City beating Inter Miami 2-1 last night. What did you see on the field, and what have you felt like has been the reaction so far to a return to play after such a long layoff?
Good question.
What was the song at your wedding reception that really got everybody hyped and going?
Wow, that's a great question.
Robin, were there particular people within the medical community that you guys leaned on to get information as you made these decisions?
Yeah, that's a good question.
As we were doing the baseball show, we do our 5 for 5 segment, Jess, and Tyler asked me a question about the new players that could make an impact for either side of town. And I said, you know, it could be between Keuchel and Grandal on the Sox side. On the Cubs side, I said that I was non-committal because I said whoever the new player would be for the Cubs that could, you know, pay dividends for the Cubs, maybe he's not on the squad yet, or maybe someone that's been undiscovered because the Cubs had very little movement in the offseason. Maybe whoever that person is going to be is going to be the actual closer, because I don't see Kimbrel being that guy for the long haul.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a good question.
So, John, if it's not going to be a long process before the next step and we think we have most of those things in play, why are they making an announcement about anything today?
That's a good question.
Shefty, is there anything to why they would announce today without having the new name ready in the rollout and all this? We just talked to John Keim, who said he thinks that it's not far off in the distance. There's obviously some trademark things that would need to go through there.
Yeah.
But do you think there's any significance to just announcing that it's not going to be the name that we all already figured it wouldn't be anymore?
Well, that's a good question.
As far as testing, and I agree with you that the player safety and the testing procedure, it needs to be, you know, of utmost importance. Because, Sam, this is really kind of an outlier of what we're all going through and kind of feeling our way through. I'm curious, you mentioned WNBA, NBA, even hockey. They're all going to be in a bubble. Major League Baseball is not. The Bundesliga is not. Have you guys and or the league used or looked at those other leagues that are going to play it like you guys are as kind of a template of how they're testing?
That's a great question.
You have a lot of states, not all, but a lot of states where marijuana is legal. A lot of NBA players, and I've talked to guys in other sports, ex-athletes, who go, I don't want to be on opioids, but I will smoke marijuana or take an edible because it makes their body feel better. Has the NBA addressed getting marijuana into the bubble? Did guys bring their own stash? Like, how are they handling that?
No, that's a great, great question.
Do you think there's enough buy-in amongst all these players, Sarah, to actually make this work? Because the idea is good, but these guys have to buy in if they're going to, like, they've got to abide by these rules if they're going to protect that bubble, so to speak.
That's such a good question. I know the numbers for the amount of people that take part in an NBA game are different from baseball and football, but did those two leagues, specifically MLB and the NFL, make a mistake without trying to set up some form of bubble situation like the NBA did in Orlando? And I know with the other sports, maybe they would have had to do like regional bubbles, but do you think that those other sports kind of missed an opportunity here? That's such a great question.
But what if you know somebody's been out? And you see them and they come back. And I'm with you. I go up to that player and I say to him, listen, you know, what are you doing? Not only are you putting this whole you know, playoff scenario in jeopardy, you're putting my health, my family's health. You're putting come on, you got to be smarter than that. You've got to report yourself. So you try to encourage the guy to report himself. But what if he looks at you and tells you to buzz off? At that point, you've tried to address it in a one-on-one manner. And he's not going to, you know, be a stand-up guy about it. At that point, do you dial up the snitch hotline?
You know, that's a great question.
Kyle, how have you gone about preparing yourself during this downtime? Now you guys are back to work. But over that period between the start of real spring training to this spring training, how have you gone about preparing yourself?
Yeah, good question.
Kyle, any inclination as to whether or not you will be throwing the same type of Super Balls you guys were playing with last season?
Yeah, good question.
you know, if you get started, we're all hoping, and you get finished and it all goes smoothly, do you anticipate, if you guys are fortunate enough to be the World Series champs, that this one will feel the same as 16, less than 16 because you only played 60 regular season games, or will it feel even more important because of all of the adversity that you would have had to try and deal with to get to that point?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Well, Josh, because they've had a head start on a lot of teams, does that give the Raptors any advantage as far as them being down there for a while? Other teams are not used to the accommodations. Do the Toronto Raptors have a little bit of a leg up?
It's a good question.
A lot of times at the beginning, you see the defense can be a little ahead of the offense for various reasons. And in baseball, I'm sure it has those same tendencies for one to have an advantage over the other. Has that changed because of the shortness of the season and the preparation, or who has the advantage coming out of the gate?
That's a great question.
You don't trust and you can't trust anything that Ryan Pace tells you, because everything he says is misinformation and misdirection, so he doesn't give away anything that he's thinking for one reason or another. What's the access going to be like at Lake Forest this year? It's going to be totally different. You guys have to be socially distanced. How much of practice will you actually be able to see? We've got to depend upon who to judge the two players on who's going to make it without any independent eyes looking at this. So that's a problem to me. With the setup and with COVID, how are we actually going to know what the hell's going on up there?
Yeah, Eric, it's a great question.
The interesting thing about this, you know, 22-team bubble, A, will be if we keep everybody healthy, but B, like, Milwaukee's had this amazing season. If they don't win a title, I think there will be massive disappointment and feel like, what did we really achieve? Who is the best team in the NBA this year?
Good question.
Barry, is it up to the schools to decide on protocols, or is the Big Ten doing that as a group, the NCAA? Like, how does that work?
That's a good question.
Chuck, I got yelled at by Joe and Joliet earlier in the week for questioning the depth of the Sox rotation at this point. How would you describe the White Sox rotation?
It's a great question.
In general terms, just as you look beyond the White Sox, if you see, you know, the Mookie Betts projected contract, how surprised are you, Chuck, with the landscape being what it is right now?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I'll ask you this, and I don't know if anyone's asked you this. So as a player, would you play during this pandemic? Would you play with your teammates? Because this is a big question for all athletes. Should I stay with my family, or should I go and play with my teammates? So if you were faced with that, what would you do?
It's a really great question.
As you sit here today, is this championship, if you were to win it, more meaningful because you have no idea what we had to navigate just to get guys healthy, keep them healthy, get them on the field, and if we get through a World Series, navigate everything going on in the world? Or is a 162-game championship more meaningful?
I mean, it's a great question.
When you look at your team, what is the one thing you go, I'll hang my hat on that aspect of my team, and what is the one aspect where you think, that one, they got to prove to me that it's not going to be a problem?
It's a good question.
Chuck, you know, exhibition season's exhibition season. I'd call this summer training what the White Sox have had. But for a team that's trying to figure out ways to win, did those victories against the Cubs mean a little bit more and maybe help kind of solidify the confidence that this team might have in itself?
Yeah, it's a good question.
One of the things that we got to this point is that Major League Baseball felt comfortable with their testing. Juan Soto pulled from the Nats opener. You knew that a couple days ago. We were wondering to see how many players tested positive for the Nats. No player tested positive after their interaction with Juan Soto. So was this the system working, or is this more question marks about Juan Soto's maybe presumed false positive at this point?
Yeah, it's a great question.
So, Jeff, with that in mind, I have to ask, if these Marlins players tested positive before the game yesterday, why did they play yesterday?
Good question, Trey.
So is there some sort of protocol that you're aware of, Todd, that allows the players to make a decision knowing what they know at the time if they should play or not? Apparently they knew about three positive tests. They decided to play anyway. Like, Where did that come from? And I know this is all difficult because, like you said, you're not there. But yeah, right. Does baseball have some sort of protocol in place that would have triggered maybe a postponement last night or yesterday afternoon? Like, that's what we're trying to figure out.
Jess, do you trust the good judgment of Major League Baseball going forward?
That's a great question.
PB, how much do you take from what you saw from the Hawks the other night?
Well, that's a good question.
What have you made thus far of all the protocols in place and the execution of what's going on in the NBA bubble in Orlando?
Great question.
We were just chatting about baseball and their decision to not do a bubble. I'm just curious about the testing every day. How big of a role has that played in how they've gotten this thing under control? Do you think that is the number one factor as to why this has been successful, or has it because they've been in a controlled environment?
It's a great question.
What is your, I mean, look, we've had a few incidents, right? The Lou Williams stuff, and we've had some players leave for excused absences. But how surprised are you at the amount of buy-in that we've gotten in this particular sport as maybe opposed to Major League Baseball, where there's been some issues with buy-in?
And that's a great question.
The Raptors will repeat. The Rockets are better than the Bucks. Zion Williamson's never going to re-sign with the Pelicans. What's been your favorite overreaction from like 5 days in of the NBA restart?
Oh, man, that's a great question.
How would you grade the overall performance of everyone involved in this to get to where they are, knowing there have been some bumps?
I mean, like, that's such a good question.
At this point, with the Cubs already in St. Louis, I have to imagine, like you said, I know John Lester spoke about it last weekend, how they, you know, the team was already having conversations, a little bit reluctant about the idea of going to play the Cardinals. I have to wonder, like, is there going to be, like, just like the Nationals did earlier in the season, is there going to be a team vote by the Cubs and say, you know what, this is just, we don't like the idea of playing right now?
Yeah, tell Black and Abdallah to run this, because I think that's a great question. Run that on Sunday.
Diane, do we have any thoughts? I know I've been watching and monitoring social media. Your team's doing an amazing job, as is every reporter from every channel, trying to get out there, stay safe, and bring us the news. But I keep hearing we're going to have 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. where they're going to lock down the Loop area. Is there fears, again, of more violence tonight, or was this thought to be a one-night thing?
That's a great question.
Commissioner Rogers, if you're the commissioner of baseball, which you are, as we have appointed you that right now,
yeah.
How in the world can you allow the Cardinals to return with all these games that they have to make up? I mean, this is not the 1940s where you have a million doubleheaders. How can you possibly allow the Cardinals to try to get their games in within the 60-game parameter?
Okay, it's a great question.
One SEC coach told me earlier today via text that the player involvement, them being more vocal, is garnering attention and gaining some traction. It may not be enough, he said, but they it is being noticed by decision makers. So having said all of that, what type of team, if we do play ball, is best equipped to win in this type of environment, having not been on the field for a very long, long, long time?
Well, that's a great question.
I know plenty of people believe what he believes, but realistically, Barrett, in these times, how can we have college football be played as safely as possible with COVID-19 around?
Well, that's a good question.
No, Mel, over the years, I've heard you talk about, you know, players that could benefit from going back to school and staying in school. Is that statement more true now than ever before? Should guys think about opting out so that they can get that year when things are back normal? And if that's the case, how does that affect the supply chain for 7 rounds of an NFL draft?
Yeah, Bart's a good question.
If some of the Power 5 conferences decide to not play football, but then some of the Power 5 conferences like the ACC or the SEC decides to play, how's this going to affect maybe potentially the Senior Bowls and things of that sort? You know, the time for guys to have opportunity to maybe prove themselves in some postseason type of games to show what they're about and be able to have access to coaches assuming that the pandemic will be over with, or we'll have some type of therapeutics or vaccine before, let's say, March?
That's a great question.
Two 12s made it into this round. Where's the upset in these eight series?
That's a good question, man.
Chuck, would you want to play if you were a student athlete at Auburn right now?
You know, that's a great question.
How about from a parent's perspective? It's one thing, as you know, you're an athlete. It's what you do. I want to play, and I'll play under any circumstances. If you had a child that was a student athlete, how would you feel about that?
Yeah, that's another way to look at it. That's a great way to ask me that question.
And so I think the story of the night was the disparity in shots on goal. The Knights had 33. The Hawks had 20. The 20 shots on goal for the Hawks tied a season low. In the first, the Hawks went 10 and a half minutes without a shot on goal. Is it just easy to say, shoot the puck more?
Well, that's a good question, Danny.
Yes, Enzo! I made it! Thank you!
That's great.
All right, there you go.
Was it really a good question, or are you just saying that?
No. You know what? I'll leave it for the pundit.
Would you be nervous?
If I was, say, a White Sox player and I saw the history with the Cardinals, I would play, but I would probably keep my distance. I would be definitely wearing a mask the whole game because I'm not really sure about it, unless they can tell me something that I don't know. But then again, what does anybody seem to know? I don't know. I mean, that's where we're at. 2020 is... I don't know.
Right.
Because I don't know. I don't. So you're right. It's Sylvie, you asked a great question.
Is it an impossible task for the St. Louis Cardinals? And should we care that it's almost impossible?
Yeah, those are great questions.
If that's the case, how quickly do they make that coaching announcement and get moving forward toward whatever next season looks like?
I think, Brian, that's a really good question. Mark that down, Chris.
How much of a problem do they have with Eloy Jimenez playing left field?
God, I'm getting this question way too much these days. It's a good question.
That being said, with the maturation of Cease and knowing what you just said about Dunning, what are you expecting from Dunning?
That's a good question.
Do you have a rooting interest in the Bears' starting quarterback?
That's a great question.
In your mind, if the Big 12, the ACC, and the SEC are able to complete a football season and play a championship and it all comes together reasonably well, would it automatically be true that the Big 10 and Pac-12 made the wrong decision?
No, that's a really good question.
And I wonder if through this period you believe there are lasting changes that we might see to the structure of college sports as we have always known them. And if so, what you would anticipate those might be?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Doc, all year the media has been, kind of like the second thing to say about you guys is, well, wait until the Clippers get everybody back and they get a chance to practice and play some games together. Well, I mean, that doesn't happen at the end of the year anyhow, and now you got the bubble on top of that. I mean, how challenging is that, you know, not really having had a chance to have the group together?
You know, PJ, it's a great question.
In a year where the Central is playing the Central, a win against a team that you're playing is a win, and I don't need it to be a beauty contest.
Yeah, it's a good point. But, you know, Tommy, you brought this up during their first little run when they were playing well. They really weren't beating good teams. Are we in that mode right now? They're playing the Tigers. Now, the Reds are supposed to be good. That's who's next. They're not very good. And after that are the Pirates, not very good. So, yeah, I get it. You're right. It's not a beauty contest, but you do try to extrapolate towards October. Can they beat the good teams based on the way they're playing? And if they play like last night, yes, getting hits with runners on base, something we talked about and you guys talked about yesterday, that's great. But you just wonder if they're good enough to beat the good teams. And I think that's a good question. It's a good question.
What more could you think of or could be discussed to your knowledge that could be done, I guess is what I'm asking. If the players are looking to try to do more, to make more of a difference than they are, what are tangible things that would be realistic that we could see in the next week or so?
You know, that's a good question.
Mark, how sustainable is it when you are a hairy-chested slugger and you continue to knock the ball over the wall as often as the White Sox? How is that sustainable throughout the regular season in the playoffs?
You know, that's a great question.
Do you believe, like, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we will look back at this time as being a very important time on the sports landscape with the real
world? That's a great question, Chief. That's a great question.
Mike, how do you feel when you find out that somebody that you know may fall into that group or somebody you thought?
That's a great question.
So, Jesse, if you could say, and I know Chris Bryant doesn't seem to be in part of this answer, but if out of the struggling Cubs stars, who are you most confident that will eventually turn things around for themselves?
This season?
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually is a really good question.
Chuck, who has impressed you more, Cease or Dunning, as far as the starters for the Sox?
That is a great question.
Okay, so more Bears points or Cubs runs?
Ooh, I like it.
This weekend?
It's a great question. Yeah, put that down.
That's what you were trying to do. You were just trying to get a great question out of me.
I guess, Pete, if I'm an Irish fan, I'm concerned about the defense. You've got, you know, Kareem, Okwara, as well as Jones. Those proven pass rushers are gone. That was a lot of production there with their 14 sacks combined. So what do they do to try to replace that production defensively on the line?
You know, it's a good question.
What does a full David Montgomery participation look like in terms of numbers? How confident are they in their offensive line and the running game as they go into this season?
Brian, I'm not saying that it's going to work. However, they recognize that what you saw last year from a run game perspective was unacceptable. They realize that. And you know Matt Nagy is always, guys, has its eye on what's taking place in Kansas City. Now, you're going to tell me that watching that game on Thursday night where Edwards-Helaire buried the Texans, kept them so off balance, they ran the ball so well, so effective, so creative, you're going to tell me that that did not in any way resonate with Matt Nagy? I think that's what he would like to do. Now, Brian, your question is great.
15 carries a game, is that sustainable? Should we expect, Mike, the offense to continue to be built around Cam running the football going forward?
Greeny, great question.
Here we go. Corey in Wicker Park, you are on with the great R. Chuck Garfine.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
It's a little windy. I'm outside walking, but wanted to talk about the starter playoff round. I know that they've got, you know, Cease and Dunning coming up this weekend against Cincinnati. It'll be great, but I'm not sure who said it last night on the late show, whether it was Black or Abdullah, but one of them mentioned that it was going to be a runaway with Dunning. We'd just love to hear thoughts on that. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Well, what was the question? Who's going to be the number three starter?
Yes.
You know, so that's a great question.
Last thing before we let you go, Mike. What's the one storyline that you look at through 2 weeks and you've been pleasantly surprised about and interested in following throughout this season? What's something that sticks out to you through 2 weeks of this NFL season?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Any chance the Sox kind of exhaled, Chuck, being an inexperienced team with regard to getting to the postseason? I know they added Grandal and Encarnacion and others who have postseason experience, but any chance that you felt like there was a minor letdown?
Hey, Waddle, this is why you're good. Not only as a radio host, but as a former player. That is a good question.
We know usually what's on the line for winning a division. I mean, you avoid the wild card round. Usually, every team now is in the wild card round. And home field advantage isn't what it used to be. So what's in it for the Sox to win the division?
And that's a great question.
The over is hit a lot more than usual in the first 2 weeks. I think it's a record, like as far as the average points per game, I think like 50 per game. That stopped last night, but do you think that's going to continue, and has Vegas adjusted on the total?
It's a great question.
Next Tuesday, do the White Sox open the playoffs at home or the road?
That's a very good question. When I look at the offense for the Crimson Tide, it's like that boy, the offensive coordinator. How has he fit in with Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide there in Tuscaloosa?
An Alabama question.
That's a good question.
When you look at the Crimson Tide, I think Jonathan the Hull? Three of us, including you, would say
two
that
questions.
The Tide would be the favorite
two
in the
questions.
West. Roll
Tide.
Second, who really stands out as someone that could really turn some heads second or maybe third in the West?
Yeah, it's a very good question.
When will we see more of Cole Kmet?
Yerko.
Oh, good question.
They keep promising that. And tight ends coach Clancy Barone on Monday said he's surprised they haven't seen more of them yet. So it's a really good question.
Heather, who's been the biggest surprise thus far
for
you?
Katie George.
Oh, boy.
That's a good question.
How does that happen? Like, I don't understand how you can be negative on Tuesday,
Myron,
and then suddenly on Saturday or Sunday you're positive.
Well, yeah, that's a good question.
Wonder how we would view the Detroit Lions if they had held on to that
back
lead
to
they
back
had against Green Bay, 14-3 early. If they had held on to that 23-6 lead they had over Chicago, lost both of those games. But they're playing a Saints team that has some injuries. How do you see that matchup?
So that's an excellent question. Who has a worse quarterback situation than the Bears? I mean, how many teams are there? It can't be more than two or three, is there?
Boy, I'd have to take some time to go through individually. I'll circle back with you on this. It's a good question.
They've got the 16th most efficient defense in the country. They've got one of the best offensive lines in the country. Is Ian Book good enough? And has he made enough progress to make them a contender for the playoffs?
I should get two.
Gosh, I mean, it's such a good question.
In your mind, as one who has been around the game all of your life, what do you think is at stake for LeBron James legacy-wise tonight in winning a championship?
That's a good question.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State, two new coaches. Both big wins early in the year with Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin.
Wow.
Leach over LSU, Kiffin at Kentucky. When their careers are
quite
over,
the list growing.
Which one's going to do better at their school in Mississippi?
That's hard to call, and it is a great question.
When we look at the Fighting Irish, they've been off a couple weeks because of COVID-19. How do you think the Fighting Irish will fare in this contest?
Not that I don't want more football. I get the same amount of football in a week. It's when to get it, like going
anti-football
to Tuesdays
take.
And going
Ugh,
to
bad
Fridays
question.
Or Saturdays.
Bad question.
I like on Sunday where I've got a bunch of football to watch, and a guy like you can get me from game to game. What's your opinion?
It's a great question.
The evidence to us
back to
what
back.
The NBA just pulled off, and
back to back.
Before that, the NHL. So why wouldn't he, as a doctor, be a proponent of bubbling up?
It's a great question.
Now. Last Saturday night, Clemson rolled the Hurricanes 42-17. Did that game say more about Clemson and how good they are? Or that Miami just isn't ready for the spotlight yet?
It's a good question.
With the Bears actually finally playing Dumbo. A team after the last 2 weeks
Holler
of playing team,
at
you
your
know, top
boy
1 and 2
remote
defense,
from
DVOA.
The crib.
You get a team that's 25th in DVOA, and on the other side of the ball, Carolina's a top 7 team in offensive DVOA. So do you think this could go over the total here with a breakout game from the Bears?
It's so hard to bet unders, man. It really is. It's interesting, though, because you know bookmakers raised this total. You know, week one, the average total is 45.5. Week five, the average total is 50.5. Now, that might not sound like a lot. You know, it's only 5 points. That's 5 points per game, man. That's a big swing. So, you know, last week we're at 50.5 on the average, and a lot of those games went under because there's an overreaction on the number. So, it's a good question.
So the biggest game of the night, Georgia and Alabama. Saban's worth 1.5, apparently, to some people. So how do you see this game? Will we finally see an SEC football game where a total goes under?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Do you believe that the young players could connect with that? Like, this is a team
from the bunker
that is filled with young players, a core that's ready to go, a team with swag, Tim Anderson bat-flipping, Loy having the jersey open halfway. Is this a team that could be managed by an old school guy like Tony La Russa?
That's a great question.
It's going to be an insane game five if last night's game four was any indication, with the absolute wild walk-off that tied and then a couple of dropped balls later won the game for the Tampa Bay Rays. Do you expect any sort of, I don't know, hangover effect from the Rays after all of that emotion that they spent last night?
That's a really good question.
It show up in the ratings of the games? It may show up in the ratings of the shows talking about the games, but at the end of the day,
what do you think Nick was getting at with Brian Griese, as far as you can tell, Dan, the way he responded to you guys then post-game, trying to sort of clarify maybe what was said? Does anybody have any idea of like the point he was ultimately trying to get across to Brian Griese? More than just the obvious that, the offensive line stinks. Every football fan knows that the offensive line stinks.
Yeah, no, Tom, it's a good question.
When you're watching or looking around the NFL, what do you notice about other offenses around the NFL, something that maybe the Bears should utilize more often?
you're going to get a nice ding from all of us, if I can say that without getting crazy, because I think that's a great question.
You were very, very vocal with us back in July, August, about not wanting to play football in the fall. You wanted to wait till the spring. Mm-hmm. Now here you are. You're cranking up tomorrow night. What changed for you?
You know, it's a great question.
How come the Steelers aren't necessarily getting their respect on a national level that they probably should be getting, being undefeated?
You know, Key, that's a good question, man.
What good is it to have him stand on the sidelines with the team? What can he add?
You know, that's a good question.
What about Notre Dame Clemson?
Oh, so
yeah, that's a great question.
Who gets the team gold glove?
Does
someone, do they rotate that now since they first gave this out? Now the Cubs win the National League team gold glove?
That's a good question.
How much of that onus do you put on Tom Brady as opposed to the coach?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Who's the biggest threat to
Keyshawn,
the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC?
You know, it's a great question.
Why weren't they better prepared? Like, Sylvia, LaRussa said, I have nothing to say on this.
Creeping up to Waddle.
And the White Sox released a statement just citing that this is an active investigation. Why weren't they better prepared with a press release or something regarding this? Or why didn't they want to get out in front of it?
That's a really good question, guys.
Something I want to ask you is someone who's been
creeping.
In the last 20-plus years.
One back.
The Bears' first-round picks at quarterback have been Cade McNown, Rex Grossman, and Mitch Trubisky. Is there something they do here through all the different general managers as to a reason why they can't find their quarterback? Or has it just been one big coincidence?
It's a good question.
Is there any concern this could be a look-ahead spot for Northwestern as they look to Wisconsin next week?
No, you know, that's a good question.
So you hear this rumor.
Look at me.
It's a great question.
Mike, I got to put you on the spot. Tell me right now, who are the two best teams in the NFC?
J-Will's got two now.
Boy,
that's a great question.
Doug, how do you handicap the Raiders and Chiefs game when I believe like 80% of the Raiders' defense is on the COVID list at this point? You don't know whether or not they're going to be available.
No, it's a great question.
So we still get calls about Harbaugh and the Bears because who knows if the Bears could use someone now. And I know that's not your department, Dave, but just by watching his games, if someone asks you the question, can Jim Harbaugh coach still? How do you answer that?
Woo, Sylvie, that was a good question.
I want to get your thoughts on the college football national championship playoff. Well, how do you see it so far? How do you think it will materialize?
It's a great question.
As you've been doing your homework and your prep and talking to people, what do you expect to see happen at quarterback for Chicago?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, when he's out with COVID and when they do return to play, inevitably that will be without their star. RG3 becomes that guy. How does that shift what has been the offensive scheme, albeit questionable? What has it now become, and does it tailor itself more towards the type of talent that RG3 currently is?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Right now, leading the Big Ten West, where would you kind of put and fit Northwestern when we put and look at them on par with everyone else in the Big Ten? Like, where should Fitz and the Cats really sit within the hierarchy of the Big Ten?
Wow, that's a great question.
How much, if any, do you think that this will change interest as far as crossover going forward in between college soccer and maybe college football?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Are you a believer that they value the games against the Green Bay Packers have more impact on how they feel?
All I can say to that, Tommy, great question.
They threw the ball 46 times. Ugh. That's not how you win a game with Mitchell Trubisky. So I'm wondering if it's just, yes, are the Steelers pretenders? They might be, but they also played this game against one of the better coaches in the NFL who drew up a game plan to put them in a position to have a chance in this game. Whereas you look at our team here in Chicago, and Matt Nagy has no idea how to construct a game plan for the players he's got.
It's a great question.
The Texans are getting 3.5 at home against the Colts. Here's another one of those intra-division home dogs. Deshaun Watson might be playing the best football of his career, but now another key loss. Will Fuller, their top receiver, suspended for the rest of the year. Can he do it all by himself, and is this a good spot to grab the Texans getting the points?
It's a great question.
You always look at the number.
Sylvie,
you're like, okay,
coming for the spot. Coming for the spot.
At that price. But if it's too early, stuff can happen during the week. So how are you playing that balancing act?
It's a great question.
Do you think that they're going to make a decision sometime
Chauncey,
in December?
Chauncey!
About letting those other outdoor things in the forest preserves?
Yeah, no, it's a great Chauncey. Question.
What is the long-term future for Carson Greeny. Wentz in the Philadelphia
Greeny,
Eagles?
Greeny, that's a great question.
What are their expectations of you? What type of role do they see you playing here for the White Sox?
That's a great question.
I just saw you tweet that Rick Ryan said, I don't think we're necessarily done with the pitching staff. What do you anticipate could possibly be next?
It's a good question.
How will this addition go over inside the locker room?
He's heating up back to back.
It's a great question.
Are they hoping that he is going to be a full-time DH? Are they going to play him in the field somewhere? What are they going to do?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I wonder whether or not the desire for change has been affected in any way, shape, or form, or will be affected in any way, shape, or form based on a lack of tangible response from 60,000 on a Sunday basis with these organizations.
It's such a good question.
Here's my question.
Sylvie, I mean, why even try at this point?
With all the people you run into and you know. Who, if the Bears were to make a decision, who should be on George McCaskey's shortlist to consult with?
Wow. It's an exceptional question.
Wait
Mike,
a minute.
How likely
Wait
is it that
minute.
Cam Newton will be a
Wait
starter
a
next year?
That's a great
What's
question,
that,
Jay.
Will?
If the Bears make big-time changes in the offseason, and if they're looking for a new general manager, what would you say about the Bears kicking the tires on someone like Rick Smith, who obviously you know from the time in Houston?
Oh, okay. Boy, that is a great question.
I got Minnesota heading into Tampa Bay just under a touchdown at 6.5 points. I don't know if I can trust either of these two sides. Is there a play here?
I think it's a great question.
Jalen Hurts will get the start. The Saints come to town.
Well, I'll get some
How do you handicap this game? I believe the number is 7. The Saints are the favorite.
It's a great question.
That's it?
That's it. What's the final tally? What do you got?
And the winner. And once again,
wow.
Your champion,
back to back,
G. Thomas Waddle,
back to
with
back.
44 good back questions.
To back. Back to back.
Coming in second place, his radio partner, Mark Silverman. And coming in third place, Jonathan Hood.
All right.
With 34.
Wow. What a year for a good question.